You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Right. Big, big Tuesday. May 17th.
Mets win.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm nothing.
And to Michael again.
I'm trash.
And to Don.
Maybe it's a rave.
And to Don again.
If we get pushes, we get pushes.
I'm sorry. And to Dave Rothenberg.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
And lastly, to myself. Do you know that we'd want to work with Rick every day?
I would want to live with him every day.
If you're just joining the show, some very big news earlier. Michael, you want to recap?
Yes, Steve Cangelosi, highly respected in the business, has decided to walk away after 11 years as the play-by-play television voice on MSG of the New Jersey Devils. And he works alongside Ken Danico, as one of the stars that always shows up at Don's charity softball game. So we're just trying to put two and two together and get four, you know what I mean?
So the speculation now on this program by these reporters is that Don LaGreca could be in the running to get the Devils' job. So with that, we start today's press conference. Questions for Don LaGreca with regard to this. I'll start with Michael Kay, Yes Network.
Yes, thank you so much. Don, I'm wondering, since the Devils are on MSG, if you got the gig and you had to give up the radio show, would you, in fact, make that choice?
I don't like to deal in hypotheticals.
The
job's not been offered to me, nor do I believe I'm qualified for it, so I can't imagine why I would be talking about leaving the Michael Kay show when the chances of landing this job are not in the equation. Thank you, Michael.
I have another question, moderator.
Michael Kay, the New York Post.
Are you, in fact, going for the job? Have you thrown your hat into the ring, Don?
Oh.
No, I have not.
Oh, I have a question.
Well, yes.
Yes, Peter. Peter Rosenberg from WWE Times.
Yes, WWE.com. Thank you. Don, wait. You have not thrown your hat in the ring. Does that mean you have not even reached out to your agent or had your agent reach out to the Devils organization about this job?
This is all very new. Just found out that one of the great broadcasters in hockey, Steve Cangelosi, stepped down. So there'd be no reason to go after a job that wasn't open until 5 minutes ago.
I have a follow-up question, please. Don, do you still deep down in your heart love the New Jersey Devils?
Well, I grew up a Devil fan. I don't think that's anything that I ever lied about or wasn't known about. Obviously, I had to put that to bed when I became the Ranger announcer, just as I would put it to bed if I became the Seattle Kraken announcer. So, to say that I didn't love the team, that I didn't grow up, you know, following the team and caring about the team and still in my heart, you know, love hockey and love everything about all three local teams, that would be fair to say that they're still a major part of my growing up and a major part of who I am as a sports fan.
I have one more question.
Yes,
Michael Kay, Bronx Times.
Listen, Don, if you were in a position of power at ESPN Radio and say you left, who would you choose to join Michael and Peter to do the show?
I don't like to deal in hypotheticals. Oh. I also don't like to do other people's job. So that's not for me to ever answer. If anybody Devils were to ask me,
yes,
if that day did come, I might have a few suggestions. But at this particular point,
now.
The timing is completely wrong, and that's not my job. It's not my skill set.
New Jersey Devils just tweeted out, "Thanks for all the calls and all the moments. Thank you, Kanji. What a run!
Such a good guy. You've met him a few times, right, Michael?
Oh, he's a terrific guy. He's a great broadcaster. He's going to remain on the Red Bulls."
So hopefully this is bigger and better things for Steve. I've reached out. I haven't heard back from him yet. But from what I understand, this is like a great opportunity for him. So he'll be missed. 11 years. And listen, filling in for
Doc.
Mike Emmerich was, you know, kind of like, you know, D.D. coming in to step in for Jeter. And he did a great job.
I've got
the reaction
news,
from
Peter.
Devil fans, they're going to miss him.
Breaking news?
Yeah.
All right.
Rick DiPietro has officially applied for the job if it opens.
Well,
Devil's job, this job.
I have something big here. I, during the commercial, received a text message from one Ebro Darden.
Really?
He said he would like to throw his name in the hat to replace Don.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like guys want to get out having to get up early in the morning.
Ebros.
But my advice to Ebro and to Rick.
Ebros.
Don't change your alarm clock.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So you think you're staying put. Interesting.
Yeah, but, now, you know, the management's going to keep those resumes because, as I said earlier, it might be time for me to go.
It's a great point.
Listen, any great manager, seriously, all seriousness here.
Always has backups.
Absolutely, because God forbid things happen. You got to have, like a general manager has to, even though he's happy with his manager, still has to have a list of people that could do the job just in case. So I'm sure that Ryan Hurley and the powers that be are well aware of that and will have replacements at the ready in case Michael, who's got the best chance of leaving, were to leave.
Now, Peter, you wouldn't want Ebros here, right? Because, I mean, this is your respite from Ebros.
Listen, the prospect of having either Ebros in the afternoon with me or you in the morning with him – neither is particularly appealing to me. No, I need a breather from both of you. So that would be tough. That would be tough.
You think he would try to do both?
Of course.
I mean, listen, that would be very, very tough for him. He's got the Apple job, high-paying executive job at Apple, that he's there every day during the day, too. So this would be tough.
But the great ones don't care about tough.
Was he working the Genius Bar? Is that the Apple gig he is?
Come on. Why do you disrespect people
I'm
that
not
you
disrespecting
hardly know?
Anyone. I didn't know what the gig was.
So you think his gig
I said
at
he's
Apple,
an executive.
An afternoon, a morning drive host on a
Legend.
Very, very popular morning
yeah.
show
uh-huh.
is on the side working at the Apple Store. No
side
offense to the people that are working at the Apple Store, but, you know,
he's
I don't
always
think
been
Ebro's
a fan
doing.
Of that red shirt with the little white apple. Loves
well,
it.
Well, listen, it's an improvement from what Michael thinks of me. He has me working at Sbarro's on the weekend. I'm making pizza. At least Ebro's at the Genius Bar. All right. I really enjoyed this press conference. Thank you guys for participating.
Thank you so much.
And to the rest of the media who laughed along, we appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Let's follow up on yesterday's Patrick Beverley story. Shocking to wake up today and find that guess who was back at ESPN for a second day?
Oh, well, come on. They probably didn't let him leave.
Patrick Beverley on Stephen A's World explaining his issues with Chris Paul.
I appreciate everything he's done for the game. Me and CP, this started when I was in high school, out of college.
Okay.
I went to LeBron James camp. And, you know, you Steph Curry's my roommate. You have this certain team that plays the LeBron James, the Chris Pauls, the O.J. Mayo, whoever, Darnell Jackson, whoever was at the time. In front of a bunch of scouts. And I got a taste of little CP there.
Okay. And what was that taste?
Destroyed him.
Destroyed
LeBron.
Him?
Ask LeBron. I don't have to lie. I mean, I ask Chris. That's your good friend. You know? So it's always been something from there. I respect his game. I love CP's game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love what he do. I love back in the day, he destroyed Tony Parker and, you know, all that type of stuff in New Orleans. But the praise that he gets and the slander that he doesn't get when he doesn't perform, it's not the same as it is with every other superstar. And my question is, why not?
God, this is annoying to me.
You've had enough now.
Well, I just don't like the whole act. Okay, so now this has become his modus operandi now. Like, this is now who he, I'm going to go on, and of course, you know, we as the network have to feed into that, so now he's going to be on every show because he decides he wants to bash Chris Paul. And now it's become like a cottage industry. I mean, that's what's happened now. The more outlandish the statement, the crazier it is. Let's give everybody the platform to do it, and then you take advantage of it for like 3-4 days, and then it fizzles out. I mean, come on, really? Like, what does it matter? You know, he doesn't like him. Okay. But do you think this is a bit much now? 2 days now it is? And I don't care how he feels about Chris Paul. I don't even care about Chris Paul. But you don't see that this is kind of awkward? Is that what we're going to have to do now? That everybody's to get their 15 minutes in the media and to be able to lay the foundation for what they're going to do after their career is over, just go on and say outrageous things for 2 days on ESPN and now you're the man.
I've got some news, Peter.
Okay.
Laura Stiles has put her hat in the ring for the Devil's job.
Is that true?
Yep.
Wow. I find that surprising.
Cookies.
I'll be impressed if Laura knows what sport the Devils play.
This is Gil.
Why don't you do that on Whitish Wednesday? That's a Whitish sport, right?
Yeah, but that's not how the game works exactly. But let's hear from Brian Windhorse, who was at sea earlier today with Green.
Not in space.
And talking about Will Harden and Doc Rivers be back with the 76ers.
I think Harden will be back. It'll just be a matter of negotiating the contract and making sure that it makes sense for the Sixers to improve, because I promise you that Daryl Morey has big giant plans to acquire another star. Whether he's going to execute it, I don't know. But part of getting that done is going to require Harden to take some sort of pay cut. And I think the Sixers would be comfortable with Doc Rivers returning. But I don't think it's as open and shut as Daryl wanted to present it, you know, 12 hours after they had this disheartening departure. You know, he, I think, was taking a negotiating position with the Los Angeles Lakers, coming out and saying, oh yes, absolutely, 100% Doc is back. That's not a reasonable decision to come to after that. You need to evaluate things and discuss things before coming to that. So it would not surprise me at all if Harden is the point guard and Doc is the coach when they open the season next year, but I'm not ready to say that Doc for sure is going to be in that role.
We said
it doesn't make sense, what he just said.
Which part?
I mean, one of the most selfish athletes that we've ever seen, and he's going to take a discount so they can get another star player? He's going to want to be maxed out.
You calling Windhorse a liar?
I think he's in space on this one.
Andrew, what do you think about what Windhorse had to say?
Well, for what Michael just said, if it's one thing for Harden to want that, but someone has to be willing to give it to him. So he may not wind up really having a choice in the matter. If that offer's not there, who would give James Harden a max contract right now?
But don't you think that Morey promised him that when they were romancing him behind the scenes?
I have no idea. I couldn't even begin to guess if that went on behind the scenes. I don't know. But, I mean, things change. And if that promise was made, then we'll see if Morey lives up to it. But I couldn't even guess if that happened or not. But I don't see anybody giving James Harden a max contract.
My friend Rasan Bascom has checked in. He says he's disappointed that Andrew Gundling's not getting a sniff in taking Don's spot.
Well, hey there.
Not interested, Michael?
I think Andrew's great.
I love this guy a lot.
Oh, yeah. He could go up and in on you. I would enjoy that. Andrew, would you be interested in taking Don's job?
Look, I'll get behind anything.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Don't worry, your silence says it all.
Don't answer, Andrew. There's no need.
Let's go to Tiger Watch, shall we?
Nah.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Tiger is all set to go at the PGA Championship, supposedly feeling much better than he did at the Masters. The 15-time champ playing for the first time since Augusta. And he will tee off this Thursday at 9:11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Unbelievable.
You want to venture the odds for him winning the championship?
He'll be paired with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy.
All right, because I got the BetMGM odds right here. Top 40 finish.
top 40 finish for Tiger?
Yes.
Oh, that's minus. That's minus 100.
That is a plus 100.
Okay. So what else they got? Give me another opportunity.
Finish in the top 10.
Top 10? Plus 550.
Ooh, you're very good. Plus 600.
Okay.
Top 5.
Plus 850.
Plus 1,200.
Okay.
Like you can make a lot of money here. And to win it all.
Plus 2,200.
No. Plus 6,600.
Wow. Mm.
Holy crap.
There'll be people that will be seduced into taking that.
Oh, you kidding?
I know one. His name's me.
Yeah. And Greeny. And
Trey. Why not? Why not throw a 10 ski on it? I'm going to be rooting for him anyway.
You said it was plus 2,200. You're getting triple that. So why wouldn't you place a bet?
Tiger just did it close on 10.
See? But, yeah, him, Spieth, and McIlroy will be fun on Thursday. They'll also be teeing off, beautiful, 236 on Friday. You know what that means.
But this is how fraudulent this garbage sport is, right?
Okay.
That because the azaleas aren't prevalent at the PGA Tour Championship, that then it's not as special. Give me a break. If he wins the PGA, it's exactly as special as the Masters. All right? Who cares the venue or how gorgeous the landscaping is? It'd be a major championship after almost dying in a car accident. But you yo-yos will be like, well, it's not the Masters, so it's not special.
But the Masters holds a greater reverence. It'd be like winning Wimbledon or winning the Australian Open for a tennis player.
No, but it really shouldn't.
But that's
when you consider what he's trying to overcome. But they're a little wacky for the Masters, Michael. Let's be honest. Little wacky for the Masters. Still a major.
It is true. I mean, it would be a huge deal, and it's not getting nearly the conversation.
Right.
When the truth is, if Sunday rolls around and Tiger's in contention, it's going to be the story of the day. In a big, I don't know if it'd be quite as big as the Masters, but close. I'll tell you
it should be identical.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, they're all worth the same thing.
Well, I mean, honestly.
Well, one has a green jacket.
But put aside all the yo-yo stuff, because that's all that is yo-yo stuff. It's a major. There's four of them. And he's coming back from the same car accident. The only difference I'll give you is a few months later.
No, besides that, it's the exact same
thing. Otherwise, it should be that way. Like, let's say, a pitcher, like a great story comes back from almost having his arm severed, and he comes back to pitch, and it. But it's not at Yankee Stadium. It's at Bank One Ballpark in Arizona. Like, well, it's not as special because it's in Arizona, not Yankee Stadium. Give me a break. It's still, you come back to the majors. He's playing in a major, coming back from almost dying. But it won't get the same recognition and the drool factor from these yo-yos because it's not the Masters. Give me a break. Another reason, just hate this sport. Despise it. Puh.
Well, I want you to know I'll be salivating just as much as I would.
You know what? I respect that. I got to tell you, Michael, his takes on golf, I respect.
Who, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I'm trash.
Sure anybody else's.
Yeah, thank you very much. By the way, we're going to continue. I got a few more stories to do on the other side, but ENN tonight brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. And, of course, Casa Noble. When life moves fast, take a moment to hit pause and experience the smooth, elegant taste of Casa Noble tequila, the perfect tequila for all of life's meaningful moments. More ENN next on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ENN rages on 98.7 ESPN. And after this segment of ENN, we'll get to your phone call. So any of the topics of the day that you want to get in on, call right now. We got the phone lines open for you, 1-800-919-3776. Just cleared them out. They're ready, willing, and able, and we'll get to that. But in the meantime, in between time, Don, you may feel good to know that there's some positive movement, it seems, on one Jacob deGrom.
Yeah.
The MRI showed that continued healing in the shoulder. He had a follow-up imaging on that right scapula, and they're saying that he should be ramping things up still, and things appear to be on pace.
Now, I know Michael said that that still could be a negative because they still haven't found exactly what it is, and he may not be able to come back until, you know, after the All-Star game, but I just look at it, Peter, as it's clean. If they get him back after the All-Star game, all the better. This team doesn't look like they're going to be, you know, out of first place or anything by the time he comes back. If anything, probably adding to their lead with everybody being under 500. I think this is certainly a positive.
Hey, Don, you ready for some ping pong ball action?
Ping pong. Oh, that's right, tonight.
Bing bong! Isn't it funny that, like, the NBA draft lottery is certainly the biggest thing. It's certainly the biggest draft lottery that exists, right?
It was, well, it depends on, you know, who's coming out, right? Because I the first thing I ever did for the network, Peter, was hosting the draft lottery when LeBron was coming out. And I went to Secaucus and I hosted it. And, of course, Cleveland won and it was a big deal. But, like, who's the consensus number one coming out?
Wait, how'd that work, Don? How did hosting it work for radio? For radio?
Yes.
How did where were
Ray
you?
Row?
Like, where were you set up?
Oh, they had a radio booth in Secaucus at the NBA headquarters.
Got it. And you were just watching it on a monitor?
It was it was done right there. It was done right there in Secaucus. Oh,
so it was right. You were in a booth, but able to see what was going on.
Yeah, and then okay. Cleveland won, and they brought Mr. Gund in for an interview, and I interviewed him. Of course, he couldn't see, which was an awkward moment for me because I didn't realize that at the time.
Oh no!
And so I got he kind of left me hanging.
He pulled an Edith.
But it was all good. He was very. It was a good interview. It was a great experience to be able to be a part of that, knowing LeBron was the guy. So obviously,
but you're saying when there's no guy like that, it doesn't have the same oomph.
Well, honestly, like obviously, NHL is never going to be as big as the NBA. But if you have like Sidney Crosby coming out or Connor McDavid coming out, wouldn't that be bigger than if it's just like some nondescript NBA draft where it could be any of two or three guys, or the consensus number one isn't looked upon as being a superstar like LeBron James?
That's fair. That's fair.
Because I remember, I don't know what the rating was, but do you remember ESPN actually had the draft lottery coming out of the lockout when Sidney Crosby was going to be drafted? And everyone was in the draft lottery because they didn't play the year before.
Right.
And then the Penguins won it. Like, that was like a big deal, knowing how, you know, everybody were talking about Sidney Crosby forever.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
Andrew, is there a consensus biggest name, like number one overall pick?
I don't know. Jabari Smith is up there.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero from Duke.
Banchero's up there,
he would be up there. Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga. Jaden Ivey. Like, those four are kind of the names that I feel like are kind of moved around in different spots in the top four. Whether or not any of those get you excited, I don't know. They're good players, but obviously it's not a LeBron year.
You just answer the question. If there could be four guys that can go number one,
then it's not one of those.
Then it's not one of those drafts.
It's not the Zion year.
No, it doesn't mean that we can't fast forward 15 years from now and whoever drafted first turned out to be, you know, a Hall of Famer. But
wouldn't it be just the Knicks' luck if they won the lottery this year? So they win the lottery, but you still don't think they're going to get someone that's going to completely turn the.
But their odds are almost minuscule, right? Because they're a lottery team.
9.5%.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. It's not great. 9.4 to be exact.
It's not great at all. But better than zero. It's 9 times better than 1.
Man, I saw the saddest thing today, Don.
Oh, no.
Former Bears running back Tariq Cohen is a free agent. Because a couple of years ago, he had an ACL, missed an entire season after such a promising start to his career. And he's working out now as a free agent after 5 years with the Bears. He was released in March because of all these injuries. And he was doing a workout on Tuesday and live streaming it on Instagram Live. And while doing some basic drills and was doing this back pedal, collapsed to the floor, grabbing his leg.
Ugh.
While working out, trying to make it back to the league. And this is a guy who, Don, I mean, you just feel his career obviously started out so promising. Out of nowhere, remember, the name Tariq Cohen just sort of popped on the scene.
Sure.
And everyone was talking about this kid. Then the injuries come in. Then in the last 2 years, Don, he lost his twin brother and his younger brother. So he's just had an awful go of it. And then today, while fighting to come back, suffered that injury. So send if praying's your thing, sending positive energy, whatever it is, send some Tariq Cohen's way.
Just think about that. That's just
I know.
I hate to hear that.
It floored me. And the video is so hard to watch. Seeing him reach for his leg and go to the ground. It's just awful stuff. On a much more positive note, last night, LeBron James decided to have some fun on Twitter and do a little Ask Me Anything.
Can I just say something quick? I was going to bring this up with Tim Legler.
Go ahead.
Isn't there this, because the playoffs are going on and he's not a part of it, where I picture LeBron almost like the Dave Chappelle character, the guy on crack. He's dying.
Oh, you mean itching to do something?
Because it must be killing him. No, seriously, like, this is a guy that lives for the postseason. The postseason's going on. He's not a part of it. For like second time in 3 years or 4 years, whatever
going,
it is.
You think he's going full Tyrone Biggum, just scratching himself games?
I just think that, you know, he's a winner, right? He lives for this. So, like, when I saw that he was like, what you got tweet, it's almost like, I'm here. Hello. Don't forget about me.
So he does that Ask Me Anything on Twitter, and Tom Brady tweets, you and me, 5 rounds. Ice hockey shootout. Who wins? LeBron replies, me, but barely. Maybe swinging from my knees, though, with lots of laughing emojis.
Now, would they play goalie against each other, too?
Or they, I mean, if it's just... I mean, Don, do you have to be talented to just take a puck and hit it into the goal? You should be able to do that.
Right, so there has to be a goalie, right?
Yeah, which neither one's scoring.
Right, so neither one's scoring, but they would score if the other one was, you know, in goalie pads and had to stop it. Now, I don't know
Oh, see, now we're talking where they each play goalie for against each other.
Yes.
Now
I don't know how the Buccaneers and Lakers would feel about that.
By the way, I'm telling you right now, that is better than any sort of stupid Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson golf match.
Oh, that would be
Brady
something, honestly.
And LeBron in a hockey shootout against each other?
Now, it would never happen for obvious reasons, but man. And it kind of tells you that, like, hockey's kind of, like, got a little cachet. The two of the biggest athletes in the world, it's, like, on their radar all of a sudden. And LeBron, whenever he's in Toronto, like I've seen him at Leaf games.
Really?
Hanging with Justin Bieber, yeah. I don't think he's a fan, per se, but, like, I think I get the sense that LeBron is, like, a lot like Charles Barkley in a sense that he's a big sports guy.
Oh, no. I mean, dude, I don't know if any other athlete posts more during big other sports moments than LeBron James. If it's a big fight.
Especially football, too.
Football, he's super in. College football, college basketball. Baseball, he shows up. May switch team allegiances, but he'll show up.
Like I don't think he follows hockey. But, like, let's say if the Kings made a run to the final, I could see him going to a Kings game if it became a thing in L.A. Brady, I don't know. He grew up in Northern California, so I don't know.
So we've told you about a lot of snippets from that upcoming Phil Mickelson biography.
Yes.
By the way, this guy, Alan Shipnuck, who wrote the book, I mean, could he have timed this book better?
I know, right? Was he sitting on it?
I don't know. Because, like, you have a Mickelson biography right now, as everyone's talking about him because of this Saudi situation and him not being involved in all these majors. So, anyways, a story came out. It was released to the Times of London. And supposedly, there's a story about a longtime golf analyst for CBS who said, when I was in the TV tower, every time Phil got to my hole, Bones, who was his caddy, would look up at me and I would flash the odds. If Phil had a 15-footer, I'd flash three fingers, which meant the odds were 3-1. If he was 60 feet, I'd give him 2-1 on a two-putt. Bones would go down and whisper in his ear, and Phil would look up at me and shake his head yes or no. I can't tell you how many wadded-up 20s I threw out of the tower until the tour found out about it, and I got word through CBS that I was no longer allowed to gamble with Phil while up in the tower.
Unbelievable.
I mean, come on, dude. Rory McIlroy, by the way, added while preparing for the PGA Championship that, quote, Phil Mickelson should be here. He described his absence as unfortunate and sad and said he wished that Mickelson had made a different decision to come to Southern Hills and play. Of course, we can't decide whether or not he made that decision or if it's just sort of a punishment he's getting from the PGA and they're making it sound like he's doing it on his own accord. Either way, Don has fallen asleep because that's two golf stories, and that'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, May 17th.
And I was also in the midst of reading a story that I would like to bring up to you when we come back.
Ooh, okay, that's a tease, plus your calls. Get in right now, whatever subject you want, 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don taking you the rest of the way on the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Despise it. Puh.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.